Good morning, everybody, and a warm welcome to today's live stream of worship from St. Timothy's in Crooks. I'm Malcolm Lambert, the priest in charge here. And welcome to Anita and Sally Ann and Diane and Alex and Kate and Patricia and Ellen and Joe and Jackie and anybody else who's joined us. It's lovely to have you with us. And so we begin with our opening responses. The Lord be with you. Praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has claimed us, and now we are his. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And so we pray. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Handing over now to our worship team, who are going to lead us in our songs of praise, beginning with Let Our Praise Be Your Welcome. Thank you again to our worship team for leading those songs. We come now to our time of confession, when if there is any way in which we've fallen short, failed to love God or failed to love others as we should, we ask God to renew us, cleanse us, and forgive us. God is light, so let us be lights in the world. We pause for a moment. our God, to bring to our hearts and minds those ways in which he would renew us and strengthen us. We pray together, saying, Mighty and loving God, in Jesus Christ, you bring us all to new life. Mend what is broken in us. Restore us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and strengthen us to follow our risen Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to forgive sinners, give you his pardon and his peace, now and evermore. Amen. And the prayer for today, the collect. It's a prayer that we would be renewed in our sense of call of ourselves as disciples. We pray together. Risen Christ, by the lakeside, you renewed your call to your disciples. Help your church to obey your command and draw the nations to the fire of your love for the glory of God the Father. Come now to our Bible readings. For those, I'm going to hand over to, and to bridge, first reading from Acts and then from John.
Good morning. The reading is taken from Acts 17, verses 22 to verse 31. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to an unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. This is the word of God.
Good morning, everyone. The reading today is taken from John chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 15 through to verse 21. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Bridge and Radha, for sharing those readings with us. We're going to come now to the talk for this morning, and I'm really pleased to welcome Roger to give the talk this morning and delighted that he's able to be with us. So over to Roger now.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be together. In our Gospel reading, we heard how Jesus promised his disciples the Holy Spirit. And this morning we think about that intriguing statement of his, that he will be in us. In our church year, we're now in the time between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension. And we probably don't have a full list of all the things that Jesus did and said in those 40 days. But we know from Scripture that they include at least 10 different appearances to different people in various times and places. Plus, as Luke puts it in the Acts of the Apostles, many convincing proofs that he was alive. But the period of time after the resurrection seems to have been one of anxiety and confusion for the disciples, who were never really quite sure when they would see Jesus again, or where, and they spent a lot of time together in one room, perhaps for fear of being discovered by the religious leaders. We know that in an attempt to keep busy, Peter briefly seeks comfort in the familiar and goes back to fishing. The night before he died, Jesus had spoken about going back to his Father and about sending another advocate or helper to be with and in his followers. But then he follows this up by speaking of himself as being with them. This is confusing for the disciples. This blissful state of having Jesus back with them is temporary, that much is clear. They know that the time is coming when Jesus will be leaving them, and this time for good. How he'll be leaving them and yet being with them will become clear one day soon, on the day of Pentecost. But just now they're trying to make sense of all the things he told them that night and wondering what happens next. Jesus' ascension will mark the end of his earthly existence and the beginning of a new period when his relationship with his church is not restricted by the boundaries of time and space. What Jesus started in a small way in Jerusalem, his followers can continue to the ends of the earth. As a man, Jesus reached a few thousand people. His followers will reach millions. We might even say that the ascension stands for Jesus' final liberation from all limitations of space and time, so that he will be free to be lovingly and powerfully present with every believer in every age and every place. Jesus is present now, but alongside, behind and before, above and below, as our companion, our comforter, our guest and fellow traveller, our friend and fellow worker. At the beginning of Jesus' comforting talk with his disciples, he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." But why not? Because there is indeed plenty to trouble us. It's not as if believing in God makes us somehow immune to life's difficulties and dangers. At the coming of lockdown, I was very troubled. I wondered, amongst many other things, how do I act now as a follower of Jesus when I can't even meet with fellow worshippers or with my friends and family or with members of my community? It's not as if I was short of ideas for what to do with my time and resources. There were plenty of calls on them from TV adverts offering to give me a chance to volunteer as a supporter of the NHS, asking me for money for the NSPCC, for Save the Children, Water Aid, amongst many others. But I wasn't quite sure exactly who is my neighbour right now. And what does the Father want me to do with my time? Maybe he wants me to spend more time in prayer. Maybe this is a time to get to know him better, to spend time in his presence. Or maybe this is a time to rush around frantically, meeting urgent need, and it's not as if there isn't much urgent need to be found around me. Or maybe he wants me to just stay out of the way, in lockdown, and let the NHS do its work. It's perhaps at times like these, in times of great trial, that we find Jesus' words most comforting. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid, for I am going away, and I am coming back to you. At times of bereavement or fear, this is one of the most comforting passages in the Bible, because it tells us that we are not alone. Jesus has walked this way before us. He's been through bereavement, pain, and death. He's suffered deprivation of liberty. He's been deserted by friends and family. And Jesus describes a spiritual unity between the Christian believers and God, like the relationship between members of the Trinity itself. And you can't get a more intimate relationship than that. Some people are not entirely comfortable with the thought of Jesus being that close to them all the time. Perhaps they fear that it means relinquishing a degree of control. Last week, my five-year-old daughter, granddaughter rather, learned how to ride a bike. Her dad, my son-in-law, ran alongside her, holding the seat until suddenly he was yards behind her, laughing and cheering, and she realized she was cycling. I think the Holy Spirit is sometimes a bit like him, in that he comes alongside the Christian to help her keep her balance, but subtly, not intrusively. And then again, the Holy Spirit is not quite like him in that he never leaves us to manage on our own. Even though at times you may be unaware of his presence, he remains beside us. In this time of unbalance, when our church buildings are empty and we're not even able to come to church and meet with God, it's comforting to know that God has come to meet with us. And depending on which translation of the Bible you use, you'll find that one of the names to describe the Holy Spirit is indeed Comforter. God is here with us in our own homes. There's a cartoon circulating on the internet at the moment which shows the devil talking to Jesus and boasting, "With COVID-19, I closed all your churches." And the devil looks very content about that. But Jesus said to him, "You think so? I think you'll find that there's now a church open in every home." So wherever we are separately, we are still together in the Spirit, and God is there with us, giving us comfort and support and helping us to keep our balance. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are here with us wherever we are, together or separate, and that you provide comfort and support, and you will help us to keep our balance. Lord, help us to be reassured of your presence. Help us to be more aware of your proximity to us and be comforted by that knowledge. Amen.
Thank you so much, Roger. It's lovely to have you preaching again, and it was really good to see you in church as well. Thank you very much for that. And so, having been reminded of the promise of God's presence with us by his Spirit, and of the vision of God's glory that awaits us, let's declare our faith together as the family of God. We declare our faith, saying, "Christ died for our sins, as written in the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day, as written in the scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen." I'm going to hand over to Ruth now, who's going to lead our prayers.
Lord, we thank you for your beautiful world, for spring life bursting forth all around us. We thank you for the song of the birds and the fragrance of the blossom, for the privilege of parks and open spaces. We pray for those without gardens and for those who are shielding and isolating or too ill and fearful to go outside. We pray too for those far away who are combating animal poaching during the pandemic. May we all cherish your precious natural world and do all we can to tackle climate change. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Lord, we pray for the hungry, the poorest in our world, for the homeless, the refugees, for those who are seeking to help them, for all the have-nots who need our prayer. We thank you for Christian Aid and for all the other NGO aid agencies. Lord, we pray that we will be generous in our response, especially as the threat of COVID-19 raises such a spectre of fear to those without water or health care and is truly frightening. Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, continue to work in us so that we can bring about change for good and work for social justice in your world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and suffering and all who are caring for them. We thank you for our key workers, for maintaining our health and care and social systems, those in education and all our other infrastructures that need to be maintained during the pandemic. Lord, keep us from despair and darkness. Protect us from harm. And we do hold before you, in your loving care, all who need you most today. And in our own homes and our hearts, we name before you those who need you most right now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Ruth. Now we ask God for his blessing. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Live in peace and love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.